Today I will be talking about Jo Carrillo. Here you can see a picture of her next to her husband and her son. The question is, who is Jo Carrillo? She is a professor of law at the University of California. According to UC Hastings Law, Jo Carrillo publishes and teaches on the topic of property and marital property systems, financial intimate partner violence, consumer protection issues, and legal humanities. She has an education from Stanford University and the University of New Mexico School of Law. Her areas of expertise include trust, divorce, economic torts, finance, fiduciary laws, mortgages, and property law. Currently, she is working on understanding how specific statutes can encourage relational equality in intimate partnerships and friendships. She is also interested in mapping financial torts and crimes that are perpetuated in the family. Her feats include elected member of the American Law Institute, member of the Modern Language Association, a former trustee of the Law and Society Association. She served on the Herbert Jacob Prize Selection Committee and was on the board of authors for the Felix Cohen Handbook of Federal Indian Law. She was one of the featured writers on The Bridge Called My Back. This book is an anthology that is composed of feminist writings. The book is composed of writings by women of color and has an emphasis on intersectionality. It portrays the idea that mainstream feminism mostly benefits the white women. The book was made to challenge the notion of mainstream feminism to be beneficial for all women because of a sisterhood. One of the writings that was included in the book was her poem, "And When You Leave, Take Your Pictures With You." In the text, Jo Carrillo describes the idea of white feminists romanticizing the struggle of colored women and the representation of them by the white feminist community. She writes, "And when our white sisters, radical friends, see us in the flesh, not only as a picture they own, they are not quite as sure if they like us as much. We're not as happy as we look on their wall. With the poster child approach that feminism has taken, a lot of the people that are seen may feel underrepresented and left out of the conversation because they don't have a voice. They are being represented in a way that they might not feel." Another writing that she wrote that was included in the book was Beyond the Cliffs of Abiquiu. In this poem, Carrillo talks about the unfair treatment of the native workers, how the white employees are held to a higher pedestal. As she describes the differences in ethnicities between the workers at a trading post in the Navajo Indian Pueblo, how can it be that the mines, the uranium cancer-causing dangerous radon gas-emitting mines, are worked by Navajos and other assorted types? And all the trading posts are all worked by whites. She goes on to write about how her people are being misinterpreted and seen as drunks, making it seem like if the white people are helping them. Even saying, "It's authentic Navajo Indian Laguna Pueblo design from Buen Muir Indian Trading Post, completely staffed by whites except, of course, for the janitor." She writes this to show that the stores would rather show their white workers while the colored women are being sent to do all the tough work, almost as if they want to show off the white women. Here's a picture of a white man working in a Navajo store with no representation of the people that actually made this stuff. Jo Carrillo's theme is very clear in the idea that her people and colored women are being portrayed for the benefit of the white feminist movement. Rather than something that has benefited all women, she is seeing that only white women are getting all the benefits. As her people are still being used to do all the manual labor and the dirty jobs, such as being a janitor or working in uranium mines or factory jobs, white women are being shown at the front of stores as cashier and floor workers. This brings up questions to think about, such as, can there ever be a feminist movement that can be beneficial for all women? Or is race an issue that needs to be resolved first for there to be an equal feminist movement? Something that we can think about today is underrepresentation the biggest problem or a lack of voice for minorities? These are questions that Carrillo makes us think about through her writing. Thank you for listening and watching my slides.